Yeah, I would just like to talk about the spirit of disobedience a little bit. I'm not going to go to a lot of verses, probably. I think we've gone to enough verses, I believe, to prove that it seems like there is something that is in us that makes mental suggestions to us. One thing I'd just like to talk about is, you know, we wonder why men murder, why men kill. We wonder, you know, why are there wars and why nations fight one another. And then we look at the world and we see alcoholism controlling so many people's lives, men and women both. We see people hooked on drugs that can't seem to get off. We see broken homes. We see unfaithfulness in marriage. We see these things and more. And I'm afraid mankind has had some help. True, man must make a choice, but lots of time an unbeliever person out there in the world, he has these thoughts that come into his mind, and he thinks they're his thoughts. He never ponders as to where they come from. Most people don't. They just pop in, and all of a sudden, he starts thinking about it. That person starts thinking about the suggestion that's put in his mind or in his head, and as he thinks about it, and as that seed is planted in his mind, and as this seed begins to grow as he entertains it. We talked about this last week. And it begins to blossom and grow, and the emotions begin to take over his desires. His desires increase for what this thought is all about. And then all of a sudden he's convinced and he's persuaded by the growing emotion and lust of his mind and heart, until he goes forth and brings it into action, and then that person has committed a wrong against his fellow man, against himself, or against God. In other words, he's sinned. Now, it's true, and we are all responsible for the thoughts that come into our head. There goes their free will of choice again, like we talked about in the very beginning when this program first started. Man gave us the ability of free will to choose. And every day, when every thought comes into our head, and when the spirit of disobedience pops a thought into your head, you've got a choice. It's of your own free will that you choose to be pulled in and suckered in by the enemy, by the spirit of disobedience that lives in this flesh. When we give him room to, instead of being a salesman, he actually gets into the house. You see, he can't enter in to your brain, and he can't take over your thoughts and your emotions and your desires unless you allow him to come in. Oh, he's a good salesman. He'll come knock on your door with a thought, a suggestion, you know. And when the suggestion is there, it's like a salesman at the door saying, you know, let me in. Let me in. And he starts pitching his sale outside the door with the door closed. But as you start listening, and you start thinking about what he's saying, you've then gone to the door and you've got it cracked open. And then as you begin to listen more and more, and the emotions begin to grow, and the desires begin, the wrong desires and emotions are felt, then you let him in the door and into your brain or into your house. And now he's in to where he can do the most damage. And more than likely, you will follow through, and you will sin. Most people don't, especially the lost person, he doesn't examine his thought life. A lot of people don't even know that these are suggestions. Not every thought is a suggestion, but there are a lot of suggestions that get pumped into our mind, especially those who don't know Christ. And they don't know the process. They don't know how it goes through. A lot of people I know, before I came to Christ, I didn't question those mental suggestions. I thought it was part of my life and part of my own thoughts, and it was my brain process. But I listened to a lot of them, and I sinned. It led me through. I followed through. I let him in. And I did a lot of things that in my lifetime that were wrong. And I didn't know about all this until I came to Christ. And then I realized, according to Scripture, that there's an enemy that lives in me that doesn't care nothing about me and wants to ruin my life. And like I said last week, to the unbeliever, wants to bring a wedge between him and God, and between him and salvation and eternal life and life after death and forgiveness of sin. But I want you to notice the word in Galatians 5, 21, where it says the word drunkenness. This is a list of the work of the flesh or the deeds that spirit disobedience wants you to fall into and the things that he wants you to practice in your life. And by making mental suggestions and suckering you into losing your temper and suckering you into committing adultery, suckering you into hating somebody, suckering you into being jealous of somebody, to sucker you in so that you can perform and live that life, that sinful behavior, which is hatred, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, murder, theft, so forth and so on. But in that list is the word drunkenness. And that same word for drunkenness is what it's referring to is to addictions. It's not just referring to alcohol, but it's referring to addictions. It's not just referring to beer and whiskey, but it also here would be referring to drugs, money. Anything to where we have lost self-control and have become addicted to it. It becomes habitual. A lot of people that are on drugs that can't seem to get off. A lot of people that are on alcohol can't seem to get off. How'd they get there? Well, it was of their own free choice, of their own free will. But just like me, I was led into some sins in my lifetime because I didn't know about the thought life and the suggestions. I didn't know that it came from something from within. And because I entertained and was led into it, I went into some sin. Same thing with alcoholics and drug addicts. They're led into it of their own ignorance because they do not know about the spirit of disobedience and that thing that lives in their life. And it convinced them. They convinced them and made all kinds of suggestions of how grand and glorious it would be to start drinking and to drink, you know, and all this, until one day it started with one drink, or just to shoot up, or just one sniff up the nostril. And now today, they're living in back alleys, can't hold a job, family possibly being destroyed right now, simply because you listened to that false suggestion that came into your mind by something that lives inside you, known as the spirit of disobedience, or that old man, or that sin nature, or by sin, whatever you want to call it. But I prefer to call it the spirit of disobedience because it is a spirit that wants to persuade you to disobey God. And as for believers, to convince you to be powerless and to live that life that is contrary to God's nature. But how did the alcoholic get where he was? All started with spirit disobedience. All started with listening to that salesman coming to the door, getting involved until he was allowed to come in. And now, you can't seem to let go. You know, I talked to one person, I shared this one time before. I talked to a drug addict one time. I made the statement, I said, it's not you that wants more drug, or it's not you that wants more alcohol. I said, it's the alcohol in you that wants more of itself. And he stopped and thought about it, and he says, you're right. Because a lot of the alcoholics that are out there, a lot of the drug addicts, they wish they could get off, but they can't seem to. While they're striving to get off, it's just like what's in them has now overtaken their mind and overtaken their thoughts and their desires and has overtaken them and is pulling their strings because it wants more. And now it's too late. You can't say no. You got to feed it. You're its slave. And you got to feed it. You got to feed that spirit of disobedience, and that drug wants more of itself, and that alcohol wants more of itself. It all started by one little mind suggestion so many years ago. But where are you now? Are you in the back alley? Are you laying in your own saliva? Are you on urine? Are you in the back gutter someplace, eating out of trash cans? Have you lost your wife or your husband already, and your children don't even know where you are anymore? What about it? Where is your life now? Or maybe you haven't gotten that far yet. But you know that if you continue, you know that's where you're headed. Because you've allowed yourself to be enslaved, and you've allowed him to pull the strings as he pulls the chains of your emotions and desires and has control of your brain in certain areas. And now he's controlling you. And he's calling the shots. And he doesn't care anything about you. He just wants to use you to ruin your life. He wants to use you to do his bidding so that he can get his kicks out of watching you squirm in those back alleys, or watching you squirm for that bottle, or watching you squirm to get that next shot or sniff up the nose. Oh yeah, when you first started, you were bold and you said, it won't happen to me. But where are you now? The boldness is gone. The smart aleckness is gone. The cockiness is gone. Because you're hooked. It seems like there's no way out. But I got good news for you. There is a way out. If you're within hearing distance and hearing distance of my voice tonight, as you listen, there's someone that wants to set you free. There's a verse in Scripture which talks about the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Would you admit tonight that what I said is true, and it's true in your life? Would you admit that you're enslaved? Would you admit that he has you? That thing that lives in the flesh has control of your mind and your brain, and he's got you. Would you admit that tonight, right now, where you are? If you're an alcoholic, a drug addict, or maybe you're hooked on cigarettes, whatever it may be. Maybe you're hooked on pornography. I don't care what it is. The first step is admitting that what I said is absolutely true. And that he has you. And that even though you want freedom, you can't seem to get it. I'm letting you know, admission is the first step. Admit to God, bow your head right now, wherever you are, and admit to God that you're enslaved and that he has you in his chains. But that you do want to be set free, and that you're tired of it all. And if you're truly sincere, and you really want to be cut free, then just admit to God, Lord, I am in addiction. I am enslaved to alcohol, cigarettes, drugs. I'm addicted to pornography, whatever it may be. I'm addicted to temperament. Whatever it may be, admit to it right now in your prayer with your eyes closed. Just admit to it. Confess it. He's there. He wants to listen to you. He's hearing you. Just admit to it. And then ask him to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. Admit that you're a sinner, that you have sinned, that you're enslaved. And then ask him to forgive you. Then ask him to set you free. And ask him and tell him right there in your prayer. He's listening. He's right there beside you. And say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to set me free from my sins and to forgive me. And that he died in my stead and in my place. And I accept that truth and I accept that fact right there where you are right now. Admit that you accept it. And that you want Jesus Christ and you want his Holy Spirit to come in and take over your life. Would you do that right now? Just as I was talking about it, would you do it? And I guarantee you that you will begin to be set free. But you gotta want it. You gotta be sincere. You gotta be through with that old life. Because, see, if you're just playing games and you're just going through the motion and you really want it, it won't work. God knows your heart. He's got to know that you're sincere. If you're sincere and you really mean it and you're tired of it all, He'll help you set you free. Would you do that tonight? Would you do it right now?